Is adorable, so we both look like twins today. Isn't it so cool to look back on our offering video? Look back on our year in review and recap what happened? That's just like a smidgen of things that happened. This year we welcomed 10 new members to our church, right? This year we baptized one. This year we had a car run into our building. This year we moved the stage, which is really cool. This year we hosted our very first successful Easter breakfast. This year we had an epic vacation Bible school. This year our Sunday school kids dressed up like minions and did this very cool curriculum over the summer. This year we sent 15 care packages to our college students. This year we went to Feed My Starving Children twice. This year we started a nursery ministry. We began a Grow Junior High ministry. We had 35 kids in tutoring this year. This year we said goodbye to the Murchies. That was sad, right? This year we voted in a new elder and a new board president. This year we had two successful boutiques. We hosted two movie potlucks. We had a crazy potingo night. You people love bingo. Yeah. We had several high school events, including a very intense game of whirly ball. You had to be there to see it. We had Zumba mornings and some Zumba nights. We launched a Christmas season with an Advent hot cocoa night, if you remember that. We watched several Northsiders moved and helped them into their new places. We had Dr. Phil, Ralph Macchio, The Rock, and Justin Bieber look alike at VBS, right? We got an ice maker this year, right? We got like a new coffee maker / system / cart, everything that has to do with coffee. We are like super cool. We held three ladies' nights, including another crazy bingo night where people were continuously stealing this little cloth that watches your car windows. That was like gold, right? That was a crazy night, Syndra, right? You almost threw down on that day, yeah. But there was only one person who walked away with it. That's me. All right, yeah. The youth watched our youth wrestle and watched our youth sing and watched our youth play basketball. Our kindergartners received Bibles. We heard powerful testimonies on Thanksgiving, on Mother's Day, remember the moms up here? On Father's Day, remember the dads up here? We heard awesome testimonies during the This Is My Story series, remember that? And also during our Bible memory time, we studied the Bible together. We had 9 people go through financial peace class together. We tutored, we taught kids, we led worship, we cleaned the kitchen, we shuffled kids at VBS, we watched babies in the nurseries, we collected offering, we worked the parking lot, we set up the boutique, we made pancakes, we performed skits, we made snow cones, we taught fitness, we played games with middle schoolers, we bought meals and snacks, took care of the sound, ran the PowerPoint, put together crafts and lessons so that people's lives would be changed. We started Northside Community Church. We knew we wanted people to find Jesus and we wanted people to follow Jesus. And this was our theme verse. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. This is the good news of Jesus and who he is, and he saves. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. This is what we want. Can you imagine your life without Jesus? Can you imagine your family without Jesus? Can you imagine how you pray and not believing that there was a God on the other side who was going to hear your prayers, care about your prayers, and answer your prayers? Can you imagine your life without Jesus? Well, we at the Northside Community Church, we have Jesus and we get this. And we realize our lives have drastically changed because of Jesus in our lives. We think differently. We think about eternity differently. We forgive differently. We love differently. And that same good news that we've experienced, we want others to have it too. That's the mission of our church. We don't want to hide it under a bushel. No! Right? We want to let it shine. That song's so powerful because we don't want to keep it for ourselves. We know it's too good and it's true. It's true and too good to be true, but it is true. And we want people to experience it. So Northside, knowing that we want people to find and follow Jesus, we also said this year, we gotta grow in this, right? That was our key phrase, to grow. And we challenged each other to grow in 4 areas, which we talked about earlier, that we were gonna grow in numbers. There are people sitting in this room that were not here last year when we did our Step Up Sunday. right? And we always say that. Who's going to be a part of our family next year? Who is it going to be? Well, some of you, this is your very first Step Up Sunday. We decided we wanted to grow in community. There's a relationships that you have in this building that you never thought could go so deep, that you never thought you could just pick up and call out of nowhere and have someone pray for you or enjoy a meal or have someone move you. You grew in community. We grew in service. All those things I listed, they take a lot of volunteers. And you never thought snow cones were your spiritual gift, but you did it for BBS, right? And you never thought Ralph Macchio, well, we knew Ralph Macchio was your spiritual gift, but you never thought you would be doing these things. But guess what? There was a phone call or there's a call out and you said, well, I'll do it because I believe in what we're doing here. So you grew in service. And then you grew in faith. And this is where our testimonies came in this year. When you get up here and like those tissues that Ellen gave, they're so true. Because kids, if you're just joining us, you're going to hear these stories. You're like, well, what at first you're going to be like, are they cuckoo? Why are they crying all the time? Then the second time you're going to feel their joy through tears. Or you're going to feel their pain through tears. And you're going to see what the body of Christ does together. Sometimes we laugh together, but sometimes we cry together. Yes. And sometimes we're mad together. And sometimes we're laughing so hard. Sometimes we're burning down the building with a microwave, and sometimes we're trying to save the building when a car runs into it, you know? We do things together. And our theme verse for this year that kind of went along with growing was this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And I love when we had our Bible memory challenge. A few of you guys grabbed this as your verse. Like, this is a verse that God's been like, you got to trust me. You got to trust me with your kids, and you got to trust me with your parents, and you got to trust me with your life, and you got to trust me with your living arrangements, and you got to trust me with your marriage. And you got to stop doing the things that seem comfortable to you because God doesn't want that in your life, and you need to start following God boldly. Right? You need to follow His understanding. You got to start putting aside those childish things because you've grown another year in the Lord, and those things aren't attractive anymore. That's baby milk. And now you got to be like, I've learned from those mistakes. I've walked away from those things, and I want to live differently. You're growing up, right? And some of you worked on broken relationships, and you've worked on addictions this year, and you started reading on Bible apps. You're like, I got 360 days, and I can't believe, you know, I'm reading this much Bible every day of my life. And you said, I can't believe I don't want to miss a Sunday. You know, it's a beautiful day, and I want to head to the beach, but my car pulls up to Northside. And you were like, I can't believe all these changes I've done this year. I've grown in my faith. You know, last year on this very Sunday, Step Up Sunday, there was a Northsider who was not yet a Northsider. And she had walked past this building several times, looking at it, not really thinking it was a church. But God was working on her. God was working on her to grow her faith and to grow her community and to grow in numbers for us by having her come to our church, and most certainly to grow in service. So I think there is a Northsider here who can give a visual of last year's mission and vision better than I can ever do. So I want you to welcome Sharon up. I'm right here, Sharon. Right here, microphone. She did not grow in vision this year.
Before I start, I would like to say thank you for welcoming me a few months back. I really did need that. I was broken. For most of y'all who don't know my name is Sharon Huggins. And this is my story. I give it a name I did not know, but I am in the process of. I am from Trinidad and Tobago. As a kid, I grew up in Catholic faith. My parents were not church-going people. The only time I went to church was when I was at school because it was mandatory. Other than that, I would go occasionally. It was not something my family did. I have 3 children, 1 girl and 2 boys, and I love them. I came to America and did not think about church because I was not in the habit of going. But do not get me wrong, I did visit a few churches. I just did not know God at that time. I have been employed at a company for 15 years. Loved it, although it could be a little frustrating. I coped with it knowing that there was a payday and I can relieve my stress just by shopping. Thinking my life was about money and enjoyment, and it can buy me happiness. I was enjoying myself until one day I got an ultimatum from my employer, concerning a minor problem that could have been avoided. I tried explaining, but his mind was already made up. He just did not want to hear me out. I started getting angry, but he had 2 witnesses there. So I decided to walk. On my way home, I started to call my family, telling them about my situation and ask for help. The decision day did not take long for them to say, come back home. And I thought I had a backup plan after helping them for some time, thinking they would return the favor. I was so wrong. It just hit me. I was jobless and no one wanted to help me. What I had in my account was gone in a wink of an eye. I have nothing, and I am at my lowest point. I am done. I started thinking negative thoughts, and I am drifting. Fast forward, another episode happened. It struck me a few days later, I had an appointment to see some important people, thinking this should go well and would not be a problem. I went and said my piece and left the room. They all discussed it and discussed the matter and came up with this. Ma'am, I am so sorry, but you would have to take a very long vacation. What can I do? I went straight in a depression mood. My emotions were justified. I feel like I was going slowly. I needed help. What do I do? I need help. At that time, I didn't know what to do. I put on the television on a channel, surfing, looking for help. I stumbled on a gospel channel and noticed the language was not of mine. So I kept strolling and kept going back to the same channel, not knowing they speak my language. For a few nights with the channel on, one night in between sleep, I heard a voice speaking about giving my life to Jesus. That's what I wanted. I focused in a flash. My blankets were pushed aside. I burst my clothes open and I said, and I tell it all with tears. I felt a presence, like I was showered. I believed he heard me. Now I decided to go to church. I stumbled on a few. There was one church I read on a poster about breakthrough. And that was it for me. I got a breakthrough. Now that I got my church, I am done looking. On my way home, still walking and peeking through windows, I passed Northside and did not even peek in.
I get that all the time.
I can't wait to get my breakthrough. On the day for church, I got up, don't want to be late. I left home early so I can take my time and walk. Eventually, I reached the church, went in. I saw people but of a different race, speaking in their language and translating. I was so mad, I was so upset and ashamed that luckily I was sitting by myself close to the door. I stayed about 5 to 7 minutes feeling stupid. I got out of there so angry at God. I remember having my phone just staring at it. While walking, I passed the Northside Church and stopped. A young lady who was coming out the church door said to me, "You coming to church? Come on in, girl." I started walking towards her with anger, but had a smile on my face. She hugged me and I kind of shunned her. I eventually went in and had a seat. At the time, they were worshiping. I tried singing along, trying to hold on, but the Holy Spirit was fighting me. I was dying inside, trying to hold on. When the message was over, everyone was leaving. I got up, slowly walking. I was so weak and reached as far as the door, and I broke down. I just could not hold on any longer. The young lady was at my presence again. She rushed to me, hugged me, and asked, "Are you okay? Do you want to speak to somebody?" I nodded my head. She brought me a lady and introduced her to me. She invited me to her office. I sat down in tears. She asked me, "Can I help you? Can I help you with anything?" I was just crying. She kept asking, "How can I help you? You need food? What do you need?" My reply was, "I need a job. I have bills to pay." I remember saying, "Why is this happening to me? I am a good person, I know that. I never kill anybody. Why?" Why? You know? Pastor Kerry started talking to me about the God who loves me. She held my hand and prayed for me. After the prayer, I sobered up. My tears were dried and she hugged me. I already knew that I wanted a new life, a new started life, and was just fed up with the one I was living. Hearing her speak to me encouraged me. I left and I felt some change that day. Still, I was angry, but for a moment there was a glimmer of hope. I decided to come back the next week. I don't think she wanted me to come back. She was expecting me to come back. I came back to the next service. Again, there was the young lady. She acknowledged me and welcomed me with a hug. While I was seated, Pastor Kerry came over to me, smiling, asking, "How are you doing?" I answered and said to her, "Still here." She applied. Her reply was, "You are here." She invited me to a Bible study. After the service, I remembered I was still sitting. Another member saw me looking all confused and came up to me, and I started crying again. She consoled me with a hug and said something sweet to me. She asked for my phone and put in her number in, and that was a surprise to me. Now I decided to participate in Bible school, in Bible study, where I met some interesting ladies who did not judge me. They listened and prayed for me. I just feel welcome. I did not really know God, but heard that He knew me. The ladies will always let me know that, and that He loves me. Now that I am stuck with God so much, I was baptized and feel God's presence, even though and feel the God who loves me even more than ever. It is as if I cannot live without him. Blessings go out to my friends. Sindra, I call her a love child. She has a lot of love in her. I've learned much from Sindra. I've been with her a few months. And she carried me places and showed me love that I've never really had. You know, Yvonne, I call her my angel. She just proper. I ask myself, but how? Why? You know, you keep asking yourself, you like those questions. Always there for me. She always nag me, but not for the wrong, but for the good. You know, always for the good. You know, Miss Carey, I call her my teacher and my counselor. I don't have to spend money to go to her. And Sonia, I would say she was very kind to me, very pleasant, and very helpful. Thank you so much. She consoles me a lot. I'm not going to forget one person the one who took my phone. I don't know if it's trust that she trusted me, but it was something that really meant a lot to me. Her name is Maria. Thank you so much, Maria, for trusting me with your phone number. That means a lot. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
I still haven't given her my digits. Norsa, does that get you so excited? Yeah. Right? She wasn't here last year. And now she's got this posse of people in her life. She met Jesus. She served at Vacation Bible School. She's on our nursery staff. I mean, her whole life has changed. That same good news that you experience is going out into all the world. It is changing lives just like the day it changed yours. That is just amazing stuff. It's amazing. So we just celebrated what happened last year, but that was last year, right? We're not done. We're not done. We don't just call it a day and say Sharon got saved. We're done, all right? There's more to it. There's more to it. For example, if you're running the Chicago Marathon, like I don't every year, right? And if you pass that 1 mile marker, you know, it's 26.2, and you pass the 1 mile marker, you're like, man, that's an awesome time for me. I did it in 20 minutes. That's great. You know, do you stop there and just celebrate, right? No. You have 25.2 more miles to go, right? The race was not done. There is more to go. If you're taking a test, right, and your tests are in parts nowadays in school, you know, written part, word part, whatever. You're taking a test. You're like, you finish section A, and you're like, man, I rock section A. I'm going to call it a day, right? You don't, because there's more tests to come, right? You are not done. There is more to go. If you're in the middle of watching a movie or reading a book, and you're like, man, if I stop now in chapter one, that's a happy ending, right? And you say, I'm just going to put the book back and celebrate, right? But there's more to the story. There's more to go. I mean, Norsa, I love that this year we've grown in numbers. I love that you have grown in your faith. I love that we have grown in community and service. But our story isn't over. There's more. There's more. The job and the commitment of the church isn't over until Christ comes back. That's just the truth of it, right? So look here as Paul writes to the church in Philippi, motivating the Christians to keep going. Every time, it's like this love letter he writes to the believers. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. I just love you, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news. You know, the same good news that we've experienced about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Oh, memory verse alert. And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on, what's that word?
Growing
in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring so much glory and praise to God. So until the day Christ returns, which we don't know when that is, the race keeps going. The story has more to tell. The tests are not complete. There's more to go. But here's the thing. You can quit a marathon. You can quit a book. You can stop watching a movie. Why? Because the choice is up to you. The choice is up to you whether you keep running. The choice is up to you if you keep reading. The choice is up to you if you keep taking the test. It's a choice by you. Our first two words of our theme this year is I choose. I choose. Don't we all live by choices? I mean, we make dozens and dozens of choices every day. And we hardly think twice about the choices we make. You choose what time to get up. You choose your outfit. You choose what you eat many times a day. You choose what you drink, what you eat, how you take your coffee, cream, sugar, decaf, 103 degrees, blended black, right? You choose where you need to go and when you need to go. You choose who you're going to talk to, whose phone call you answer, right? What music you listen to, what show you're going to watch, how many times you check your phone in a day, what time you go to bed, how you fill your non-working hours and your school hours, what you want to look like, what you want to look at when you're on the computer, how ambitious you're going to be today, whether you exercise or not, whether you root for the Bears or the Packers tonight. You make that decision. You make that decision on how to respond to rude people, how to respond to nice people, whether or not to engage with your family, who you talk about, who you talk to, what you give to. You choose if you drive or take public transportation. If you're on that public transportation, you choose if you're going to sit next to that person or that person. We make choices every day, all day long. I have some candies here, all right? And some of you are very particular with your choice of candies. These I think are disgusting. I don't know about you. I would never, ever choose waffles. Who likes molten stuff? Maybe you do. All right? What would be your choice, Ella, of all of these things here? What would you think? I buy these all at GFS. Yes, I like them too, all right? What would be your choice of the remaining ones?
Oh. They're all the same as Jesus.
I know, but let's not pretend. I don't know. What would be your choice? That would be my choice. Yes. What would be your choice? What would be your choice? What would be your choice? Now, honestly, I want to know, because I only have three and I'm done with the younger children. Oh, yeah. What would be your choice?
I'll take four.
Marcus, what would be your choice? And I really hope Pacha Molly's going to be here. We make choices all the time. We choose what we want. We choose what we don't want to do. We make choices. But Paul is saying here, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure, blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. You know, Paul knows. He's trying to teach the new believers that how you live is a choice. And there are right choices and there are wrong choices. And if you really want the life God wants for you, there are choices that you need to choose to make. It's not going to naturally happen for you that you're just following God with your whole heart. You have to make choices. You choose how you live. You choose how you live. I'm not teaching anything earth-shattering here. You choose how you live. Our theme verse for this year that you are going to hear a lot is this: since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We get this Holy Spirit. And when you become a believer, it's bizarre. God comes to live inside us. I don't know why he would want to, but he does. And he gives us this Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit guides us. And this Holy Spirit convicts us where you go, oh, why did I do that? And that Holy Spirit encourages us when we're like, I feel so horrible right now, and nobody's going to make me feel better except the Spirit living inside me. The Spirit reminds us who God is. The Spirit will recall scripture to us that pops into our head out of nowhere like, oh, yeah, that is true what God's Word says. This Spirit empowers us to live lives that are fruitful, like loving and forgiving and kindness and self-control and joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. This Spirit inside us teaches us to choose right. But we always can go against our spirit because that's our choice. You can say, I choose to live by the Spirit and follow the Spirit's leading in every part of my life. That's one choice. The second choice is this. I choose to live and follow my own leading in every part of my life. Self-led. I know me. I know the world. Times have changed. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm self-led. But here's the thing. It's usually not black and white like this. We kind of think like, I'm following the Lord, the Spirit with every part of my life, and I'm following myself with every part of my life. Usually we try to do a combo. If you ever gone to a fast food restaurant, we do things like this. Well, I choose to live by the Spirit when it comes to church attendance. That's easy. Witnessing. I love to tell people about Jesus. Praying for others. I'm good at that. And running from lustful temptations. I'm spot on with that. But I also choose to follow my own leading, you know, regarding the tithing thing, forgiveness, and my marriage. Don't we usually combo? But God's Word says we either live by the Spirit or we don't live by the Spirit. So why are we trying to make our own menu, right? Why are we trying to pick and choose what we decide to follow the Spirit and what we try to choose to follow ourselves? Did any of you guys read the Choose Your Own Adventure books when you were a kid? Oh, I loved these. You know, anyone ever read them? They're still popular today. Yes, thank you, Joelle. Thank you. Okay, so this is how the book works. So this is actually one of the books I had, The Haunted House. It's the scariest I ever got. All right, so you read the book, and then it'll be like, okay, you go into the house, and then you can either go into the door or you go down to the basement. And then you choose, and it says, okay, if you choose to go in the door, turn to page 23. If you choose to go in the basement, turn to page 54. So that's what I would do. I would always go in the basement because that's the scariest. And then I would choose to go down the basement, and then I'd be like, oh, you died. And I'd be like, oh, redo, I'm going to go back. So I would actually, you get a lot into the mind of your pastor here. Then I would be like, I never really meant to choose that one. And then I would go back, like someone's counting that I'm really dead. So I'd go back, and then, and how I would read the Choose Adventure books is I would figure out the best possible way to go, and I would write it down. Like, no, remember when you get here, you got to do this. I would do redos till I got like the best possible outcome for my life. Now, the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit does. It saves us from going down the basement and dying off in the book, right? That's what it is. The Holy Spirit, God says, I don't want you to go through all of those things. I got this plan for you. And if you choose my ways, you're going to avoid a lot of falling down the basement stairs. You know what I'm saying? Right? Because there's consequences to bad choices. You know, sometimes the world things happen that's different. But when you make a certain choice and go against what God tells you to do, there's going to be some consequences. God says, I want you to avoid those things. Aren't there things in your life you wish you could do a redo? Yeah. Yes. But God blessed you anyways, and God showed mercies anyways. You'd be like, but if I didn't do that, I want to have this. Yeah, I get it, because God is good. But there's things we want to do a redo. You know, following the Spirit's leading in every part of our life is a choice. And it's always the right choice. For example, maybe you're mad at your spouse, okay? And maybe you're justifiably mad at your spouse, but it doesn't even matter. But say you are. You have a choice here. You can, one, seek God's help, use God's help, talk with God's help, forgive with God's help, and move on with God's help. That's a choice. That's being led by the Spirit. Or you can ignore and stonewall and talk to you for days, right? That's following self. You could seek revenge. I'll show you. That's not following by the Spirit. That's following by your own spirit. You can complain and debrief with a friend. I just got to vent to you about my spouse, you know. I got to tell you all these things. That's disrespecting. That's not God's spirit. That's your spirit. You can yell, walk away, come back and yell some more. Again, that's not God's spirit, that's your spirit. Or you can find ways to make yourself feel worse about what they did. You know, I'll be extra kind and rub this in their faces, right? Again, you're led by your spirit, not by God's spirit. There's things all day long of choices that we can say, what would God do here and what am I want to do myself? For instance, you're in a situation at work or at school and it's not going well for you. And you're like, I could get out of this by just a little lie. You know, I could make this go away with just a little lie. You know, it's not going to be a big lie, but I can save myself a whole lot of grief right now. And you say, okay, I could follow the spirit. I could take the harder road, the honest road, the holy road, and deal with whatever outcomes may come. Or I can follow self, even though you know it's disobedient to the spirit. Choices. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That's, I'm going to follow God's spirit, not my own, because our own natures, they go off. They crave different stuff. So I choose is our vision this year. And this is our theme verse. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's going to be a tough year. Because that's a tough vision, right? Because you're going to have to call each other out on that and say, God's word says this and you're doing this. You know, are you following your spirit? You're following God's spirit. Or we might sit down as a church and say, man, we can't make the budget this year. We got to make some cuts and do this. We got to say, what's God's spirit telling us to do right now? Oh, man, that's scary. That's a scary thing that God's asking us to do. And we're going to have to pull each other together and say, since we're living by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading every part of our lives, even when it's scary, even when it's with our kids, even when it's with our parents, even when it's with something we really don't want to let go in our lives because it just feels too good. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's going to be our language. It's going to be our motivation. It's going to be our encouragement. It's going to be our convictor. It's going to be our courage. And there's going to be areas that we're specifically going to look at, and that's going to be our series coming up. We're going to choose unity over division. Unity is a choice. Unity is a choice. That means we're going to work on our marriages. That means we're going to offer stuff at Northside to help your marriage. That means we're going to handle conflict the way God tells us to handle conflict. And we're going to deal with disunity in the church. That means we're going to take a nip on gossip. We're going to make sure if we hurt somebody that we go to that person and say sorry. We're going to make sure if we're hurt, we tell that person we're hurt so they know and they can say sorry. When our family is unified, we're unstoppable. So we're going to choose unity over division this year. We're going to choose purpose over popularity. We have one person we're supposed to please in life, and that's our Lord God. That is it. But we make choices based on popularity all the time. How will they view me? How will they see me? I want to be liked. I want to have this in my life. We're going to talk about choosing purpose over popularity. We're going to choose surrender over control. Living by the Spirit means we relinquish control. So we're going to talk about what that looks like. What things have you tried to control, tried to find your happiness, tried to control others? And it's just not working because that's self-led. That's not spirit-led. So we're going to talk about I choose surrender over control. This is a biggie. We already have a testimony lined up for this one. I choose discipline over regret. That's that choose your own adventure. You know, we don't want to live by regrets. We want to live the way God wants us to live. And if we do have regrets, then we say, I am different now. I have repented. I have changed. I have changed directions, and I am going to follow Him because I don't want any more regrets. And the cool thing is, when this all comes together and we're working on all these four things, this naturally is going to happen. We're going to choose the important over the urgent. That's just our priorities in our life are just going to line up so much. We're like, I just can't believe how much time I have. Because I'm dealing with what's important over than crises and urgent that happen because I messed up and went my own way. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And why we do that? We are going to have a newcomer's lunch. These are the things we're doing this year. We're going to have the I Can Only Imagine movie night in worship. We're going to have the Ladies Boutique. We're going to have the Joyce Myers Conference in both English and Spanish. We're going to have monthly junior high and high school gatherings. We're going to have tutoring back. We're going to have two church after stay in plays. We're going to have a graduate survival class. We're going to have 4 6-week Bible studies that meet identical, same studies, either Sunday morning or Tuesday nights. We're going to have a Saving Your Marriage class. We're going to have the ladies making wreaths and resurrection gardens. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service. We're going to have a Super Bowl Sunday church where we know the Bills are going to be there that day. We are going to have an Easter breakfast. We're going to have the Men's Olympics if everyone's still alive. And then we are going to have a vacation Bible school that's going to rock this community. We have a calendar planned. And in that calendar, we're going to be living by the Spirit in every part of our lives. But like I said, the choice is up to you. You can quit the marathon, you can quit the book, you can stop taking the test. It is, I choose unity over division. I choose purpose over popularity. I choose surrender over control. I choose discipline over regret. I choose the important over the urgent. So Northside, this is my choice. What are you going to choose this year? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everything.
Yes.
I thank you for Sharon and the work that you have done in her life. You are so faithful to complete it. I thank you that the church did its job. I thank you that the church did its job. Yes. I thank you that women stepped up to tell her that she is loved and she is valued, and that she is an important part of the body of Christ. I thank you that her spirit that she received in that TV show when she prayed to accept you drove her into this building, and then another Northsider yanked her in. I thank you, Father, that she was baptized. I thank you that she is learning every day what your word says and she wants to follow it. I thank you, Father, that you have brought new people into our congregation this year. I thank you, Father, that you've grown us tight as family. I thank you, God, for the different things that you have blessed our budget with monies and volunteers to do the work of the church. I thank you, Father, that you have equipped our faith and grown our faith to believe that you can move mountains. To believe, Father, that you can do the impossible, that you still do miracles today. Father, that you heal the broken, that you feed the hungry, that you heal the sick, that you repair marriages, that you fix broken relationships, that you teach us to stop before we get hurt. Father, that you do all those things in our life. I don't know how you can do so much. How you know so much, but that's what makes you the Almighty God. That's what makes you all-knowing and all-loving. You're amazing. And Father, we choose to follow you. And Father, we choose unity. And Father, we choose what's important. And we choose to live by purpose, God. We choose to follow you through discipline. Father, we choose to surrender and let go of control because there can be only one spirit working at a time, God, and it should be yours. We choose this adventure with you. We give you our year. If you want to rip up the calendar, start anew, go for it, God. We trust you and we follow you and we desire, Father, to build your kingdom. It's in your precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.